Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Three Martini Lunch. Grab a stool next to Greg Corumbus of Radio America and Jim Garrity of National Review. Three Martinis coming up.
Very glad you're with us for the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives. Let's start with the CNN town hall last night. You watched it, and you chronicled a lot of it in today's Morning Jolt, and we'll talk about it again here. I have to be honest, I completely forgot that it was on, and when I'm channel surfing, usually doesn't involve CNN. So I will rely on your expert analysis here. I was able to find a couple of clips that kind of set the tone maybe for what we'll be talking about here. Caitlin Collins of CNN was hosting this with Donald Trump in New Hampshire. I was supposed to go an hour and a half, didn't quite go that long, which has been the fodder for some speculation. But in terms of their exchanges, about as tense as you'd probably expect. Here's one on Trump not giving up the classified documents initially.
But that's the question that investigators have, I think, is why you held on to those documents when you knew the federal government was seeking them and then had given you a subpoena to return them.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Can I talk?
Yeah, what's the answer?
Do you mind?
I would like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple to you're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
And then she asked him who he wanted to win the Russia-Ukraine war.
Absolutely.
Do you want Ukraine to win this war?
I don't think in terms of winning and losing. I think in terms of getting it settled so we stop killing all these people and breaking down this country. Now,
Mr. President, can I just follow up on that because that's a really important statement you just made there. Can you say if you want Ukraine or Russia to win this war?
I want everybody to stop dying. They're dying. Russians and Ukrainians. I want them to stop dying.
So, Jim, as most folks know on the podcast and in the Morning Jolt, you are not exactly a cheerleader for Donald Trump, to put it mildly. You call this a TKO. CNN with major egg on its face if they were hoping to make Trump look bad last night.
Yeah, and I had some people, you know, people think TKO means total knockout. It actually means technical knockout. You can choose whether you think it was technical or total. I don't think you can say this was a bad night for Trump by any stretch of the imagination. I think it was a really good night for him. And I think whether you're pro-Trump or you're anti-Trump, I think it's safe to say for a good portion of our listenership, they don't mind seeing CNN do the journalistic equivalent of putting their head inside the lion's mouth to show off what they can do and then, you know, seeing it being bitten off. This apparently was pitched by CNN to Trump. This was held up at a university in New Hampshire, and it's hosted these kinds of events before. But a lot of the tickets were given to the New Hampshire Republican Party and other like-minded groups, ensuring that this was very much a hometown crowd for Trump. It's worth remembering, I went back and I checked, he beat Son of Mailman, John Kasich, by about 20 percentage points back in the 2016 presidential primary. Got about 45% or so in the 2020 general election. New Hampshire does not lack Trump fans. And my sneaking suspicion is that if you're a Trump fan in New Hampshire and you hear there are tickets available to go see a town hall with CNN at some university, you're going to grab that up. You're going to scrab it up and you're going to be there and you're going to be enthusiastic. If you're not a fan of Donald Trump, you probably have better things to do with your life on a Wednesday night, like Greg Corumbus. I'm not going to drive somewhere. I'm not going to, you know. So the end result is a very sympathetic crowd. And it meant that every time Trump, they applauded just about all of his answers, gave him a standing ovation when he appeared. And they loved him, mocking Collins. They loved it when he, you know, said that Pence had it coming for not doing the right thing on the election on January 6th. they loved it when he made fun of E. Jean Carroll. They you know, so that made the job, you know, so I mean, by the moment they did that, Trump was pretty much assured a good night, because it always looks good when the audience is cheering and laughing at your jokes and seems to be really enthusiastically reacting to what you're saying, as opposed to a crowd full of skeptics. And the backlash against CNN from the rest of the mainstream media is instantaneous, like before, like 10 minutes into this. And it's bitter and it's angry. There are people who are livid with CNN. Now, I think CNN at least has been saying the right things about wanting to head back towards the middle, about realizing that it had become too partisan, too one-sided, too much pundits shouting at each other and too little actual news. I think those are all the right things. I think this backfired on them terribly. And the problem was not, you know, like in theory, a town hall with Trump is there's nothing wrong with it. But the problem is that you can't, there was just no way Caitlin Collins was going to be able to fact check him fast enough. There's no way, you know, I don't think Collins is getting a lot of grief this morning, and I don't think she deserves that much. I don't think there are that many folks at CNN who could do it that much better. I think if you interrupt Trump more, it just turns into that first debate with Biden, where there's just crosstalk and, you know, shouting and even more hostility, more insults like that. You're a nasty person, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't think I think CNN feels like it touched a hot stove and they're burned. So the interesting question will be, does CNN decide they don't want to do nearly as many town halls anymore? Do they want to be a lot more careful about who shows up to these town halls? Trump was a steamroller. I mean, he just bulldozed through Collins on almost everything, and it worked out very well for him. And I think CNN is kind of shocked at how badly this went for them last night.
Jim, what did they think would happen? Donald Trump has been a media master for longer than a lot of these modern day reporters have been alive. It's not like he was going to go in there and play the shrinking violet and not engage in banter back and forth. You know, the cynic suggests that, you know, CNN expected this to happen. They have to act now like they didn't expect it to happen, because ultimately they want him to be the nominee because they think he's easy to beat. So is that a fair assessment, too cynical, or what did they think they might have gotten out of this that they didn't?
No, Greg, I think that's just the right amount of cynicism. but that having been said, like, you know, CNN is used to kind of being the master of the ceremonies, and that they kind of do it. Now, I wrote yesterday about how Joe Biden keeps claiming that he's reduced the debt by $1 trillion, sometimes $1.3 trillion, sometimes he says $3 trillion. He has not, right? Now, much, you know, people say, you know, the media never holds Biden accountable. And I went back and I checked just about every major fact checker, Washington Post, CNN, PolitiFact, factcheck.org, all that stuff. At one point or another, they've all said Biden does not have his numbers correct. The debt has gone up under him. It has not gone down under him. Part of the problem is that Joe Biden keeps using the terms deficit and debt interchangeably, and they're not the same thing. Now, you notice that they've all fact-checked him and declared him wrong, pants on fire, all that kind of stuff, and it doesn't change anything. Biden just goes out and says it all over again. So I think a lot of people in news media are used to a politician says something that's false. We come in and fact check him, and that, you know, dun, 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 you know, he's been fact checked and found false. And like, well, then the politician will say, okay, I'll stop saying that. And as we see, that's not the case at all. And so it kind of raises the question, like, I'm not going to say, well, then no one should do any fact checking. I'm not going to say the truth doesn't matter. But I don't think that this process of, well, you know, Trump will say he won the 2020 election, and our fact checkers will say, no, you didn't. And what did they think was going to happen? Trump was going to say, okay, then. You know, like, it was an excessive faith that fact-checking was going to be like a cross before a vampire or something and somehow repel Trump and somehow weaken him, when in fact scoffing at other people calling him wrong has kind of been his whole persona since he became a celebrity back in the 80s.
All right, let's talk about Four Patriots. At fourpatriots.com/martini, you can get the new deluxe 3-month survival food kits, which are back in stock. More than 200,000 smart Americans agree this is survival food that tastes good. And look, you just don't know when disaster or some other inconvenience is going to strike, and you need to cook meals in a very, very simple way. These 3-month food kits give you 688 total servings, or about 8 per day, and they give you about 1,500 calories per day. Great recipes from mac and cheese to pancakes to spaghetti and lasagna. Disaster-resistant packaging, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Also, don't forget about their great deals on the Leafy Greens Hydro Garden Seed Kit, the Four Patriots Bountiful Green Plant Food, the Sonorap Therapeutic Blanket, and the Solar Go Fridge with Solar Panel. You can stash food away and be confident that when a disaster strikes you and your family, you will be ready. Go to 4patriots.com/martini to get the deluxe 3-month survival food kit and the peace of mind you deserve. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $97. That's the number 4patriots.com/martini. That's 4patriots.com/martini. All right, Jim, on to our bad martini now. And this is about as depressing as you can get on the state of the city. If you live in Chicago, next week, we are going to have the inauguration of Brandon Johnson, the new mayor of Chicago, who, by all indications, is going to be no better and may possibly be even worse, if that's possible, than Lori Lightfoot. But as this transition gets ready to happen, we have a prosecutor in the Cook County State Attorney's Office sending a letter to 85 colleagues last Friday as he resigns, explaining that he's leaving because of several progressive reforms that have made the city more dangerous for everyone. Fox News initially with the report, New York Post picking it up as well. This guy's name is Jason Poje. I'm going to call him Pohe. I hope that's correct. Quote, the simple fact is that this state and county have set themselves on a course to disaster. And the worst part is that the agency for whom I work has literally backed every policy change that has the predictable and predicted outcome of more crime and more people getting hurt. Many years ago, my family found a nice quiet corner of the suburbs. Now my son, who is only 5, hears gunfire while playing at our neighborhood park, and a drug dealer is open air selling behind my house. The second one we've had in 2 years. If it were just me to consider, I'd stick it out. I've been through stupid state's attorney policies before, but this office's complete failure to even think for a moment before rushing into one popular political agenda after another has put my family directly in harm's way. He goes on then to talk about how, the job of the prosecutors is to represent the people. It's the job of public defenders and defense attorneys to fight for the rights of criminal defendants. But instead, with the progressive avalanche in Chicago and other cities we've seen around the country, he says, we're doing too much of the defense's job. And once we do, we pull our punches. And once we decide that it's worth risking citizens' lives to have a little social experiment, that balance is lost. The unavoidable consequences are what we are witnessing in real time, an increase in crime of all kinds, businesses and families pulling up stakes, and the bodies are piling up. It goes on and on, but bottom line, I will not raise my son here. I am fortunate enough to have the means to escape, so my entire family is leaving the state of Illinois. And Jim, we've talked many times about these far-left prosecutors, many of them backed by George Soros or entities connected to George Soros, and the results are sadly predictable.
Yeah, I mean, we had chewed around the idea of this being a good martini and, thanking this prosecutor for being, so straightforward about what he's seeing and what, the true state of the mood, the morale, the attitude in the prosecutor's office is. And I'm glad the prosecutor's saying it, but it also sounds like abandon all hope. Save yourselves, Chicagoans. This city is not salvageable. And it's surprising how often it comes up with my colleagues, some live in New York. You and I are in the Northern Virginia suburbs. If you look at really the 4 or 5 biggest cities in the country, I guess maybe, or at least, a good half dozen of the top 10, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, arguably Washington, D.C., and I'll let maybe Seattle. I'll let listeners decide which other cities are in there. Like, we're basically losing them. We're basically seeing them collapse because they've entered this doom loop where, as we saw recently in that Chicago election, that there's a choice between some degree of sanity, not the leadership we would have chosen, but a Democrat who actually wants to fight crime, and another Democrat who effectively still sees the police as the villains in this story and believe that crime really can only be addressed through social workers and root causes and all that kind of stuff. And they chose the worst option. And things have only gotten worse. You see more businesses leaving, which means you have fewer people on the streets, which means you have fewer witnesses, which means you have more crime, street crime. I mean, it just is this worsening cycle. And it's kind of frightening to see a prosecutor whose job is saying we can't do our jobs anymore. It is just not, this is extraordinarily depressing. And this should be the sort of thing which should be a giant signal flare. And you kind of wonder, okay, let's assume that there are a lot of wealthy Democrats who, you know, maybe they still live in Chicago, or maybe they moved out. Maybe they realized, oh, you know what? This place is such a disaster. The heck with it. I'll move out to the suburbs. Well, don't Chicago Democrats and Illinois Democrats want to see that city thrive? Aren't they terrified by what's happening? Aren't they angry about what's happening? I do know that, you know, Maryland Democrats who don't live in Baltimore are really angry at Maryland Democrats who do live in Baltimore. And there is a great deal of resentment for the city for being such a, you know, plagued by so many problems for generations now. Where are you, Democrats? Why are you not upset about this? Why are you okay with this? But I guess no one's really going to ask those questions. And I guess they, you know, most Democrats feel like it would be too insensitive to realize that, you know, major cities that they have run for several generations are now in a state of slow motion collapse.
Exactly. I mean, common sense tells you that if you want less of something, you need to have a deterrence. So you punish it. What have we seen from these progressives? Well, carjackings at record levels in D.C. The city council decided to lessen the penalty on carjackings until Congress stopped them. And it was so unpopular, even Biden went along with that, even though he's generally opposed to congressional intervention on that. Then we saw the riots in Chicago with the teenagers attacking motorists there a few weeks ago. And the incoming mayor is saying, no, you're not understanding this. We can't demonize the kids. You don't know what their life experience has been to this point. Well, yeah, you can demonize what they did here. That's completely unacceptable. And then this situation up in New York with the subway and the Marine and the chokehold. We'll let that whole legal situation sort itself out. But the reaction of so many people of, you know what? You just got to get used to being hassled on the train and being threatened. It's just part of life here. When you do that and you basically defend criminals all the time, you're going to get a lot more criminals.
Well, the other thing was, and I a couple of days ago in the corner, I had written about someone who says something provocatively outrageous on social media. And what you kind of know they have to be lying. They kind of know that they know that what they're saying can't possibly be true, but they do it and they get a big reaction. So there was somebody who contributed to the New York Times who said, I've lived in the city my whole life. You almost never see crime on the subways. The only time it ever happens when a guy put a hand up my skirt. I'll clean up my language. Holy smokes. What the hell? You know, that's terrible. You know, no woman should ever go through that. You know, how can you dismiss that as, oh, that's the only thing that ever happened to me? And the other thing is that we live in a culture where we're simultaneously told an inappropriate comment, a dirty joke, some sort of verbal statement that offends someone or bothers someone. It can be a firing offense. It can be considered a very serious deal. It can ruin your reputation forever. But when you're getting groped on the subway, hey, no big deal. That's just life in the big city. These are utterly contradictory messages. They're utterly contradictory attitudes. And I don't, you know, like you can't tell me that, oh, I only got groped once. It's not that bad. First of all, no one who's ridden the New York City subway. I've seen a fight in the New York City subway. And that was long before the pandemic. It's absolutely fascinating. You know, I won't give you the whole story, but like every other car rider on the train, like if they could have been beamed away by the Enterprise, they would have done so. They backed away so quick. It was like the car was clearing out as these two guys were going at it. I, being the naive dad that I was, yelled, hey, knock it off. Like I was dealing with my kids or fighting with each other. Spoiler alert, they did not, in fact, knock it off. But it, you know, like it was just kind of baffling to see people insisting, like really, like almost literally gaslighting. There is no serious crime in the New York City subway. What are you so upset about? And that's, you know, that's what they have to get to in order to defend the standard idea. Oh, Democrats are good and they're doing a good job of managing the problem of crime.
They're just not. But to do anything other than what they're doing would be to admit that their attitude towards crime has failed, which it has, but they can't admit that. So now they have to come up with this completely illogical problem that you've mentioned here with the words versus the actions. It's insane.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic. When I can, I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, on to our final martini now, Jim. Crazy one. Yesterday we talked about the House Oversight Committee laying out its evidence through documents that it's obtained of the shell corporations and the money going to nine different Biden family members, influence peddling for access to the then vice president of the United States, obviously president now. And I mentioned at the time that none of the mainstream networks really did much with it on their Twitter feeds yesterday. Apparently, according to a local radio host, the Washington Post did not have it at all in the A section today. New York Times, oh, they had it all right. But here's what they said in their headline. House Republican report finds no evidence of wrongdoing by President Biden. After months of investigation and many public accusations of corruption against Mr. Biden and his family, the first report of the premier House GOP inquiry showed no proof of such things. So, Jim, I believe Jim Comer literally said all roads lead to Joe Biden in this investigation. And as you have pointed out, not sure why all these Biden family members would be getting a ton of money from all these foreign nationals if they weren't getting something from it.
Yeah, like the reaction of certain voices in big publications was mind-blowing yesterday. There was one guy who said, well, Republicans can't prove that Biden changed policies because of any payments. So they've created this entity called, quote, the Biden family, unquote. Created an entity? We just made up that Biden has a family? You know, Biden's always had a family, right? And the idea that really going back to the very beginning, this idea that, Hunter Biden was on the Burisma board because of his exceptional knowledge about the energy industry. Oh, by the way, at a time when Hunter Biden wrote in his own autobiography that he was, in his own words, doing cocaine every 15 minutes. I'm going to assume that's hyperbolic. I'm going to, because, you know, cocaine users are famously not good at keeping to a schedule. But let's assume that during this period, he was using drugs rampantly and frequently and you know, in with total abandon. Why would Burisma say, this guy, he's exactly the guy we want on our board. He's the guy we want help. The only explanation that makes sense is that they were attempting to purchase influence with Joe Biden. Why is a Romanian businessman going through LLCs to make payments to the Biden family? As I put to somebody, because there was at least one listener who looked at it and said, well, I just don't see anything here. What could possibly be the problem? What could possibly, there's no evidence of corruption here. And I'm just going to look. Haley Biden is the girlfriend of Hunter Biden, but also the widow of Beau Biden. What do you think she was doing for Romanian businessman Gabriel Popviciu or CEFC China Energy? What do you think all these Biden family members were doing? One of the payments went to Biden's granddaughter. Now, I don't know how old she was during the time of this payment, but what do you think she was doing? Business consulting? Come on. The only reason you're making massive payments to Biden family members in circumstances like this is because you're attempting to buy a friend who has the ear of Joe Biden. And the second thing is, if all of this is nothing to worry about, if all of this is hunky-dory fine and on the up and up, why is it all being done through LLCs? Why is there an effort to hide these payments? All right. The third thing, and this is my best explanation of what we've seen going on here. Way back when I did a long timeline looking at basically every form of employment Hunter Biden had ever had. He began his career after law school at working for one of the big banks in Delaware. Now, was that direct influence peddling? I am sure MBNA wanted to have a sympathetic ear in Joe Biden. They may well have had one, but in order to it never hurts to have the senator's son on your payroll when you need to call him up and say, hey, we really need this in a bill or that bill would really hurt us. Joe Biden might have already been inclined to defend his home state businesses and things like that, but certainly didn't hurt. Then Hunter Biden went to form a lobbying shop and he insisted he never lobbied his father. Okay, he just lobbied his father's friends and colleagues. Like, you know, they kept drawing these distinctions that didn't mean very much. Other Democrats got used to the fact that Hunter Biden and also Joe Biden's brother, James Biden, I believe, did this for a long time, and that they insisted they never lobbied their family members. Biden said he never talked about it, and everybody kind of agreed to turn to avert their eyes. When Hunter Biden went to work for Burisma, this did bother certain folks in the Obama administration. You go back and you check, there were tough questions. You could find editorial boards saying, this looks ridiculous. This is in shameless nepotism. There's no reason to think Hunter Biden had any qualifications for this gig. They're paying him a ton. This is an effort at influence peddling. And apparently people would intermittently like try to talk about this with Joe Biden. And Joe Biden would snap at them. Joe Biden apparently would have this big emotional outburst. How can you say that about my son? You're just, you know. This was when Beau Biden was fighting cancer and he ultimately lost his fight with cancer. So I suspect a lot of people in Obama tried to bring it up, got a really strong negative reaction from Biden, and just let the issue drop. Now, you could say, well, that's just Biden, you know, naturally reacting to the circumstances of his life. Or less, you know, sympathetic minds say, that sounds like emotional manipulation. That sounds like Biden using his family tragedies to dissuade other people from any scrutiny of what looked like, straight on the face of it, influence peddling in an effort to buy friendship, an effort to send money to the Biden family members in order to influence Biden's decision making. You know, and here's where we are. It just got worse and worse and worse. To the point there's something, you know, this is, we have this ridiculous thing in which, you know, all of these foreign companies want to pay Biden family members for some unspecified goods and services. That's where I want to say, okay, show me what they were doing that was earning all of this money from them. Why were the Chinese businessmen just giving these multi-carat diamonds to Hunter Biden for no particular reason? Why were they keep giving all these gifts to them? Come on. But they don't have any good defense, so it's got to be that. And this New York Times headline just belongs in the Hall of Fame of reporting something that is 180 degrees separate from what was actually revealed.
And why did the money dry up the second that Biden left the vice presidency if there was no connection? So, yeah, a lot of questions. Kind of like all the money drying up for the Clinton Foundation. Very curious. Anyway, Jim, on that note, have a great day. And tomorrow is Friday, so I'll see you then.
All right. Couldn't get here fast enough.
Indeed. Jim Garrity, National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. And thank you for subscribing to the podcast. If you don't, please do that. Also, get some friends to do it as well. We'd love to have them listening, too. Thank you also for your 5-star ratings and your kind reviews. Please, please keep them coming. Also, get us on your home devices. All you have to say is play 3 Martini Lunch Podcast. Follow us on Twitter. Jim is at Jim Garrity. I'm at Dateline_DC. Have a great Thursday and join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.